October 17th, 2010, 11 o'clock worship service of College Park Baptist Church. Today's message is by the Reverend Raymond Smith and is entitled, Living the Dash. If you are in Winston-Salem, please join us for worship and fellowship at 1701 Polo Road. You can find out more about our church at www.collegeparkbaptist.org. And now, for our worship service.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you, choir. We are so excited that you are here for worship today. A few announcements that we'll make as we get started. We would like to find out who is in worship. The way we do that, on the inside aisle of every pew, we have pew pads. We invite you, members and guests, if you could take that pew pad, write your name down, put any contact information you'd like, and check the appropriate information. That would be very helpful for us. Send it down so everybody has a chance to fill that out. Then once it gets to the end, if you could send it back to where it got started, we appreciate you helping us out with that. We do ask, once it gets back to that first person who filled it out today, if you could tear out the pages that were used today. Our ushers will collect those at the end of the service. Thank you for helping us with that. A few announcements, many things that are happening. You check out our upcoming events, our opportunities for the week. Today, a reminder to our children, we are having children's time right down here. Okay, so after the first hymn, after the first hymn, and then after the baptism, and then after the meditation, then it's children's time. So just make sure you take note of that. Family ministry team, we are meeting today at 4 o'clock. This does include all of our family ministry councils, preschool, children, family enrichment, and youth council meeting today at 4 o'clock. Full schedule of youth activities tonight. Also, today is the first Sunday of 1 month to live. We'll be looking at that over the next 6 weeks or so. You've got a bookmark here of things for you to read and to consider. We want you to be a part of a study group if you're available to do that, that goes along with the book. There are several study groups in Sunday school, but also they're available on Sunday night and Wednesday night. The sign-up is available for that out in the hallway outside of Smith Hall. We encourage you to sign up and be a part of that, of those discussion groups as we consider the 1 month to live challenge. Let me see. Got a big week this week at College Park. This coming Saturday, we will be having a dinner and a show. We're inviting the Spies Elementary, everyone there to come, and we're trying to reach out to our community. We will have a dinner and a show this Saturday. Andrew has already gotten a crew together and started working on his amazing chicken that he's going to be feeding us. We'll be getting together from 4 until 7, and we hope that you come and just be a part of that. All the proceeds that we have are going to go to the Parent-Teacher-Student Association there at Spies. And then we want you to come next Sunday afternoon as our fall festival. Has become just a great event over the last several years. We invite you to invite your neighbors. There's a sign-up sheet. We're having chili and soup and all the fixings. As you leave church today, you'll see that big old poster. We encourage you to sign up for that or desserts. Anything would be very helpful. Let's see. Anything else? Anybody? All right. We appreciate you being here today, especially our guests. We have ushers that are coming down the aisles now. If you're a guest, we would like to give something to you. Just to raise your hand right where you are, and our ushers will give you a packet of information. Inside the packet, you'll find a letter from our pastor, as well as a little bit of the story of College Park, and a newsletter that tells you what's going on in the life of our church. So we are specially blessed by your presence this day, and we pray that God would reveal himself in a mighty, mighty way, and that we would have ears to hear and eyes to see God wanting to change our life. Let us prepare for worship together.
You are worthy.
Let's pray. Lord, we come this morning because you are worthy. Lord, you're worthy of our time and our attention. Lord, you're worthy of our praise, worthy of our songs. Lord, you're worthy of our tithes and our offerings. Lord, you are worth giving up everything else that we could be doing this morning. And Lord, we are so pleased and thankful. We praise you because we know that you are here with us. Because you, knowing every imperfection that we have, feel like we are worth your time as well. And so Lord, we enter into a time of worship, a time of communion with you, knowing that you are here, Lord, to speak to us. Lord, help us to calm our hearts and listen. Lord, knowing that you are here to teach us. Lord, help us to not only listen, but to become. And Lord, knowing that we are worth your time. Lord, that you thought we were worth sacrifice. Lord, help us to be willing to sacrifice whatever you may speak to us about today. Lord, help us not just to hear, but to do. And Lord, when we leave this place this morning, let us leave as new people, ready to love those we encounter during the week, so that they also might experience you. Lord, we love you so much. We invite you here now. And we praise you for your presence. In Jesus' name, amen.
when we come to the baptism waters, it's a time for celebration because it marks a time in someone's life where they recognize their need for a relationship, the saving knowledge relationship with Jesus Christ. And this morning we come to celebrate with Kyler Prophet. Kyler, come on in. Kyler is one of our young men that is growing in his knowledge of the Lord. And I want to invite all of you who are family members or youth group or any of you that had experience with Tyler and his Christian education at this point in the life of the church. And again, family and friends, if you would join me in standing now. I want to ask Jeff and Kyler's dad, Buddy, if you guys will step up to the microphone and deliver a challenge for us.
Kyler, this is a great, great day. God is doing something in you. It is exciting for me, for the rest of your youth group, to be with you today. You know, you and I talked, we texted a couple weeks ago, and you told me about your friend who noticed something different in you and wanted to know what that was. God is doing something in you and through you. There are going to be days when you doubt. There are going to be days when you wonder. But God is bigger than our doubt. He wants you to continue on being different for Him. There's a passage that you wanted me to read. I'm going to expand it a little bit. This comes from Philippians chapter 3. And this sums you up so very well. Philippians chapter 3. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. From this day forward, my challenge to you, my encouragement to you is press on. And God will be with you. You have people who will be with you and love you each step of the way. We're so proud of you.
Good morning. And I'd like to tell you that I'm just kind of way outside my comfort zone, so just bear with me for a few minutes. I was going to ask my daughter to come up here and say a few words, but that's kind of like clicking on Energizer Bunny. She'll just keep talking and talking and talking. But my wife and I would like to say a huge thank you to this church for opening your arms to our children and making them feel just a part of this church. And to you, Kyler, I'll never forget the day, or the night, I should say, that you wanted to invite Jesus into your heart. I mean, it was just a joy for your mom and I. And we were so excited. And I explained, gave you the plan of salvation, and you accept Jesus into your heart. And your mom and I, we pray every day that God will give you wisdom and discernment, and we pray for your protection. And we pray that you will seek God and His Word with all your heart. Because when you keep your eyes on Him, the things of this world will grow strangely dim. And we would like you to remember that you can do whatever you set your heart and mind to, because you can do all things through Him. And as your mom always tells you, stick to it. Don't ever give up. And whatever doesn't kill you would only make you stronger. We are looking forward to watching God work in your life and through you. And Casey and Jensen would also like to say they are very proud of you. And to know that you have always made good choices. We love you. And this one verse I will leave you with is Romans 1:16. It says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Thank you.
Kyler, because you've publicly professed Christ as your Lord and Savior, it's a pleasure and a privilege to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Kyler, your sister's there, and she is lighting a candle, and she's going to get that to you. And that candle is to remind you that you're to let your light shine before men. Okay? I want you to keep that candle. Put it somewhere where you can remember every day when you go out. You can remember to let your light shine before men. Here's Jensen. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, we thank you for the blessing of today. We thank you for this young man who has decided to be obedient. Father, we pray that you would strengthen him, that you would give him your grace and your peace. We thank you for the family. We thank you for friends. We thank you for those adults who have been significant in his life and pointing him to you. And we pray that we would take the challenge to do the same. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Okay, I need one volunteer. Where did Elizabeth go? Did Elizabeth leave? There's Elizabeth right there. Elizabeth, I need you to come up here and help me do something, okay? Now, I don't want you, I need y'all to pay real good attention, okay? I'm going to amaze you this morning. Are you ready to be amazed? All right, here we go. Now, I don't want you to show, Elizabeth, don't show me anything. All right, I want just... pick three numbers. Just pick three numbers and put them like 1, 2, 3. I don't, whatever it is, it doesn't matter. Okay? In a straight line. Now show everybody. Show the kids. Now, I don't see it. All right? Y'all see the numbers?
Yeah.
All right. This is so she doesn't cheat and change the numbers on me. Okay? So what I need for you to do now is reverse the numbers. Okay? Just put them in reverse order and subtract the smallest number from the biggest number. You think you can handle that? Okay, all right. Do we need to do the Jeopardy theme until she's done?
No.
No? Okay, all right. No pressure. Everybody's staring at you. It's okay, no pressure. She'll get me later for this. That's okay. All right, you done?
Yeah.
Okay, so you got that number. Mm-hmm. All right. Now, reverse that number and add those two together. Okay? Now, if you do this wrong in front of all these people, so you subtract the lowest from the highest, got that number, and then you reverse that number and you added those two together. Am I going to have to get another volunteer?
No, we're good.
No, okay. All right. So... I'm going to amaze you. So show them that number. Show them that the answer that you got. I know what the answer is. Now, did I tell her what numbers to choose? Did I tell her number? I didn't, did I? You didn't hear me? I didn't? Okay. Carly, can you come here for a second? Carly's my other volunteer. Now, I gave you something before church started, right? Now, was this, was it sealed?
Mm-hmm.
It's sealed. So I didn't do anything to it, right? So I didn't know what number she was going to choose, right? Okay, open the envelope for me. All right. How much you want to bet that these two numbers are the exact same?
I don't bet unless I know
one. Give me the envelope. Oh, my goodness.
Fine.
I want to get more volunteers out of the balcony. That number... What did you get? 1,089. Show them those. Show them.
1,089.
How did I do that?
It's a big
I know.
Number.
How did I do that?
You did the problem yourself and then wrote it down and then told her.
But I didn't. Did I tell you what numbers to choose? No, I didn't. How is that possible?
Look, it's a magic
trick. The numbers are the same. Quiet. I'm going to show you. The numbers
like this.
Are the same. The numbers are the same. Now, if there are any math teachers in the congregation this morning, it's a simple math thing. I don't
know.
It is? Yeah. It works.
I do not like math.
Christian said, no, it's not.
I don't want
one part of it.
You pick. I can teach you any way to come up. It'll come up with that number every time. But here's the thing. Does that seem pretty amazing that it would happen? It's simple math. And here's the thing I want you to understand. Everybody give Elizabeth and Carly a big hand. Here's the thing. It's once you learn the trick, it's really simple to do. Here's the thing I want you to remember. So many people, it's like Jesus, so many people think it's so complicated and it just doesn't make sense that Jesus loves us. and that he died on the cross for you and for me. But once you get the trick, once inside you understand how much Jesus loves you, isn't it amazing? Isn't it pretty cool to think about how... But for people that don't get it, they just don't understand. But once it clicks in their heart, that's what Pastor Raymond is going to talk about this morning. Is living your life for Jesus. And that makes all the difference in the world. It's as simple a thing as you could ever, ever understand. Will you pray with me? Let's pray. God, we love you. And we thank you that your love is so simple. And the life that you have for us is so amazing. If we would just listen and learn. Help us to do that, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. You can go back to your seat. Good job. I invite you now to turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of John, chapter 10. We're going to start in verse 1 and read through verse 18. If you don't have your Bibles, there should be one there in the pew in front of you. The Gospel of John, chapter 10, verses 1 through 18. If you want to amaze your people at work or your family members, I'll teach you that trick. Just let me know. It amazed me. All right. John chapter 10, starting in verse 1. I'll be reading out of the New International Version. I tell you the truth. The man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, I tell you the truth. I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep. And my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me. But I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. God's word is powerful. God's word changes people's lives. Jesus Christ is the word of God. Let us pray together. Father, on this beautiful Sunday morning, we have enjoyed fellowship with other believers. We have experienced worship through music, through prayer, through creative movement, through the spoken word. Father, if we were honest this morning, maybe our hearts are, they're hurting. Maybe they're just broken in two. Broken into many pieces. And we feel like we just can never get it back like it used to be. Father, many of your sheep, many of your children that are in this room, many of us feel lost and hurt and confused. It's something that people around the world are experiencing this day. And Father, so many times we seek to make things difficult and make things complicated. When your word is so very simple, you are the gate. You are the way, the truth, and the life. You are the good shepherd who loves us and only wants to give us life abundant. More life than we could ever imagine. Help us to focus on the simplicity of the truth of your love. Help us to see you for who you are. That this life is not our own. The children that you have given to us are not our own. They belong to you. Help us to reflect and to model your mercy and your grace, because our world needs it. We need it to pick up the broken pieces of our lives, to find strength when strength just does not come. For on the good days, when everything seems to be going right, to remember that it's not out of our strength, it's out of your strength. Everything that we have comes from you. And you want us to live a life for you. It's that simple. So Father, focus us in to the truth of your word. Change us from inside out. May we be different because you were here today, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. In a few minutes, we'll be singing the doxology. I'd like you to take a moment and look at the words. They're in the bulletin. They say, praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him, above ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Do we participate in singing, in praying, in making offerings, and singing the doxology, and other rituals, and deceive ourselves that we're worshiping God? When we sing the doxology, do we really mean it? Do we show real love for God? Do we truly acknowledge His holiness? Our offerings mean nothing if they're not accompanied by changed hearts that are faithful to God. That would be like trying to buy God by merely observing outward signs of religion without a change of heart. When God sent His only Son to die for us, He sent His best. Do we withhold from Him? Let us give generously and cheerfully our best, our first fruits for Him. Let's pray. Lord, we acknowledge that we fall short. We are so thankful for Your blessings. You are amazing, holy God who loves us and wants us to love You and to trust You. You deserve to be worshiped and honored by Your children. Please forgive us when we're selfish, self-centered, worried, and concerned more with data and statistics than with Your kingdom, Your guidance, and Your work. Please accept these humble offerings. Bless them and use them for Your work, that You may be glorified. In Your holy name we pray. Amen.
Perhaps there's no place that echoes eternity like a cemetery. I remember as a teenager growing up in Dana, there was a church that we attended, Refuge Baptist Church, and they had a cemetery beside the church there, as a lot of rural churches do. And I remember walking through the cemetery as a teenager, looking at all the gravestones. And it's interesting what people will put on their gravestones, or family does it as a joke. I don't know. At that point, you don't have a lot of recourse. But some of the sayings that were on the tombstones, the poems, things of that nature. I remember going through and reading those and looking at the dates. Some of them dated all the way back before the Civil War. There was a rumor that there was some out there that went all the way back to the Revolutionary War. I never found those. But the thing that struck me about them is, you know, the people that are buried there, the bodies that are buried there, there's a sense of finality with that because you've got two numbers on there. You've got kind of a date of birth, a date of physical birth, and then a date of physical death. And in between the two dates is this little dash. You know, and as I was thinking about today's sermon, I thought, you know, that dash kind of signifies life. You've got a starting date and an ending date, and everything that comes in between is what signified life. And we don't have a whole lot of control over some things in our life, like we don't get to decide where we're born. We don't get to decide who our parents are. We don't get to decide what time period that we live in, and we don't get a chance to decide the dates on our gravestone. We don't even know when our time on this earth is going to be up. It may be days, it may be weeks, maybe decades. We don't get to decide any of that. But the one thing that we do have a vast amount of control over is deciding how we're going to use the dash. How we're going to live the dash. So my question this morning for us is, how are we spending that? How are we spending that? Are you living the dash, knowing fully who you are and who you're meant to be? Or are you dashing to live, kind of hurrying around all over the place, spending precious time chasing things that really don't matter? This is the start date. This is the start date for 6 weeks of 1 month to live. Now, we laughed about 9 o'clock service because last week we announced that we were going to have 1 month to live and we're going to do it in 6 weeks. So we wondered, you know, who's going to be with us in those last 2 weeks? I don't know. But this is kind of an introductory sermon. And then we'll begin the readings this week. And then at the conclusion of the 30 days, then we'll have a time of wrap up. So that's why it spans over 6 weeks, just for clarification. But I hope that you'll join one of those groups. If you haven't already, sign up to be a part of that. There'll be some great discussion. But I've been your pastor now for almost 8 years. And in thinking about today, you know, there's been families that I've sat with and walked through different life circumstances with that knew that they were getting ready to lose a loved one. Or there were people that knew that their life was coming to an end fairly soon. And the common characteristic that you see in people who know that the end is coming fairly soon, there is an amazing clarity that comes about them. You know, they get focused on relationships. They say the things that they've wanted to say. They forgive and they ask forgiveness. They don't waste time on insignificant daily routines. They don't waste time arguing and bickering over things that really don't matter. You know, they just absolutely make the most out of the time that they have left. My question for us is, why can't we live life that way now? I mean, if we would just figure out how to live life in such a way that we think we maybe only have 30 days to live, if we would live every day like that, then we might truly learn how to live. You know, I don't know if you ever really thought about that. It may seem a little morbid to you, but I think our challenge, and the challenge for the next several weeks, is to live life as though we only have a month to live. And I want to challenge you to be a part of that. Every morning when you wake up, to ask yourself, how would I live today if I knew I only had 30 more days? And then go about living your life in that way. You know, Lord willing, you're going to have many, many more months, many, many more years. But the point is, if you live for the next 30 days as if they were your last, then you'll really learn how to live. Over the next several weeks, we're going to discover four universal principles that will kind of transform our thinking. These four universal principles can be seen in the life of Christ. Now, think about it. Jesus was in kind of a unique situation in that he knew when he only had 30 days left. And so we look at him and say, okay, how did he live his life when he knew he only had 1 month to live? And from his life, we'll discern four things, I think. First of all, he lived passionately. He lived passionately. He loved completely. He learned humbly, and he left boldly. Jeff read a passage a few minutes ago, which is a great passage of scripture. I want to pick up one verse from John chapter 10, and that's verse 10. John 10:10 says, I've come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. That's how we learned it in King James and Ms. Imogene Crawford's fourth grade Sunday school class. In the New International, I think it says, live to the fullest. In the Message translation, it says, I came so that they can have real and eternal life, more and better life than they ever dreamed of. But no matter how you translate it, the first principle we want to look at is that Jesus lived passionately. You know, maybe right now your life is you know, all good. You think, well, I just can't get any better than this. We need to talk afterwards if that. But you may be thinking, it just can't get any better than this. Others of you may say, you know, my life stinks right now. But whatever your circumstances, whether you're what, where you are in that spectrum, God wants you to live the best life that you can live. He says more abundantly. Jesus said, I want you to live life to the maximum so that you can fully know who God created you to be. And I think that's what our goal is. 1 John chapter 5, verses 11 and 12 tell us, and this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. I mean, that's pretty simple. You know, it's kind of deal or no deal is how he would say. It's life or death. If you have the Son, you have life. If you don't have the Son, you don't have life. Understand, God is all about us living today. He wants us to have that kind of life. God's favorite word is today. Satan's favorite word is someday, or tomorrow, or next month, or anything other than today. Because he wants us to get stuck in the someday syndrome. We say someday when things settle down, I'll really live for God. Someday. You know, someday when this problem gets out of my life, then I'll be truly happy. Someday when I'm not so busy at work, then I can spend more time with my kids. Someday when I get that promotion and I'm making a little bit more money, then we can really enjoy life. Someday. If we get stuck on someday, then we're constantly waiting to live. You know, we think, well, someday I'll really live. No, this is what you've got. You've got today. None of us are promised tomorrow. We've got today. This is your life. It is a precious gift. Embrace it. Embrace it. Accept it as a gift. Thank God for today. Live life passionately. You know, I want to read you a passage of scripture when Jesus talked to talking about his generation, he said this in Luke chapter 7:31. He said, to what then can I compare the people of this generation? What are they like? They are like children sitting in the marketplace and calling out to each other, we played the flute for you and you did not dance. We sang a dirge and you did not cry. So Jesus is saying that we played the music of life for you, but you didn't dance. You didn't enjoy life. You were always waiting to live. You were stuck in someday mode, whereas Jesus lived passionately. Second thing Jesus did is he loved completely. Jesus knew when he only had a short period of time. Look at what he did when he knew his time was short. In John chapter 13, verse 1, it says, Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. He loved completely. If you knew you only had 1 month to live, you would want to do the same thing that Jesus did. You would want to love completely. You would want to say the things that were meaningful to other people. do the things you've always wanted to do to help people. You would focus on relationships and express your love to those people that are closest to you, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you do that? I know I would. And it sounds real simple, but it's profound. The reason why we're placed on this earth is to love. And if you're loving, you're living. If you're not loving, I would argue you're really not living. You know, Jesus kind of summed up all of the law, pretty much all of Scripture, in a couple of verses. And we've recited this a lot during the last month or so, and you probably hear it some more through the next couple of weeks. But Jesus said, you know, it kind of comes down to this. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. The second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. So God is saying, love me first, love God first, and love others as yourself. At the end of your life, it doesn't matter how much stuff you've collected. It doesn't matter how many awards you won at work or promotions. It doesn't matter how many personal goals you've achieved. All that matters is, did you love? Did you love God with all that you have and all that you are? And did you love other people? Jesus showed his disciples the full extent of his love. And he did something simple. Verse chapter I read a minute ago goes on to talk about him washing the feet of his disciples. A simple act of service. That was a demonstration of love. I'm reminded of a story James Cobbler told me several years ago. And I got Nathan's permission to tell it yesterday. James and Nathan were having a hard time when Nathan was in middle school. Nathan had a problem with his hip, and it was a thing that they were trying to find out whether therapy was going to fix it or whether surgery was necessary or, you know, what was going to have to happen here. And so he found out one day, it was on a Friday, because the kids were getting ready to leave for fall retreat. And James found out that morning that they were going to have surgery. It's pretty serious surgery. And so he goes to school to get Nathan. The surgeon said, go get him, bring him now. Let's get this taken care of today. And so James goes goes in to get Nathan. And Nathan, it turns out, was at lunch. So he goes in and knocks on the door and kind of opens the cafeteria door and catches Nathan's eye and calls him over. And Nathan comes out, and James, in a good father moment, puts his arm around his son and said, son, it's got some tough news for us. You know, we're going to have this surgery. And Doc says, we really need to do it today. It's kind of serious, but, you know, we'll get through this together. I'm there for you, and we're going to love and support you and your mom. My mom and your mom and I are going to love you through this. It's going to be all right. You know, it's going to be okay. And what do you think? And Nathan's like, oh, so I'm going, oh, well, is that all? I thought you were coming to eat lunch with me. You know, I can take all the bad news in the world, but just don't embarrass me by eating lunch. And see, what prompted that thought in my mind is I remember going to eat lunch with my children when they were in grammar school. But they didn't want me to come eat with them when they were in middle school. So know the people that you love and know how to demonstrate that love appropriately. It was perfectly appropriate to go in grammar school, but middle school, maybe not. Know the people that you love and do the small things. To do the small things to demonstrate that love with each other. Jesus loved completely. He lived passionately. He loved completely. The third principle is that Jesus learned humbly. You know, even though Jesus was God, he taught us by example. You know, how to learn humbly. In Philippians 2, verses 5 through 8, it says, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in his very nature did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. The writer of Hebrews tells us that Jesus learned obedience from what he suffered. Jesus learned humbly, though he was God. He could have remained in heaven with all the splendor. He could have been God in all of his glory and stayed there. Yet he humbled himself and he became a man, taking on the very nature of that word, servant. He became a servant and was obedient even unto death on a cross. That is the perfect example of humility. These verses, I think, challenge us to be the same as Christ, to strive to be more like Him. If we call ourselves Christian, if we call ourselves Christ one, we should be striving to be more like Christ. Amen? We should be. So how do we do that? A couple things, a couple suggestions. First, read God's Word. Submerge yourself in God's Word. We become and we act like those that we hang around. So hang around God's Word. Read it daily. Let it be absorbed. Make it a part of who you are. And you will become more Christ-like. The second thing is to learn from life's problems. Now, most psychologically healthy people don't go looking for problems. We don't. I mean, you know, if someone that goes looking for problems, we worry about them. It's kind of like the people that have this conflict and they want to create problems in order to solve them. Like you hear the stories of a lot of times when you have arsons, you know, arsonists. Sometimes they turn out to be firefighters because they like the crisis and then resolution of the crisis. Now, you know, most people, though, try to avoid problems. And that's a good thing. That's a healthy thing. And interestingly enough, we learn a lot about ourselves when we're in crises. Also, interestingly enough, other people learn a great deal about us when we're in crises. So do we embrace life's problems at times when we can learn to depend more on God and become more like His Son? Or do we turn away from problems, shake our fist in the air and say, why me, or some variation of that? How do we deal with crises? How do we deal with life's problems? Look at Proverbs chapter 3, verse 6. It's a great verse. It says, in everything you do, put God first, and He will direct you and crown your efforts with success. It's notable here, though, that the word for success is not how we would probably think. See, the Hebrew word that's translated success literally means the ability to make wise decisions. In everything you do, put God first, and He will direct you and crown your efforts and enable you to make wise decisions. Learn humbly. Learn humbly. The fourth principle that Jesus gives us is that He left boldly. You know, Jesus lived passionately. He loved completely. He learned humbly, but He also left boldly. He was resolute in His mission on earth. And He knew why He was here. He had a mission, and He knew why He was here. And I love the sense of urgency that I read in Luke chapter 9, verse 51. It says, as the time approached for Him to be taken up into heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. He knew what awaited Him at Jerusalem, and He embraced it. There was no hesitation. There was no reservation. He was resolute in fulfilling the purpose that He came for. And if you knew that you only had 30 days to live, trust me, I think all of us would be a lot more resolved to finalize our purpose. You know, you wouldn't waste time or energy on things that really didn't matter. You know, we would become focused on eternity. We would begin preparing for eternity. You know, Scripture tells us that God placed eternity in each of our hearts. We're made to leave a legacy. One of the greatest barriers, I think, that keeps us from doing that is that we're trying to please people instead of God. We spend a lot of time and energy trying to please people instead of God. I think Matthew chapter 25, verse 23 says, His master replied, and this is the conclusion of a parable that you recognize. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Now, a lot of people will tell you how to live your life. Trust me. They'll give you a lot of suggestions on how you should be living. But at the end of life, there's only one opinion that matters. That's the audience of one. That's your Heavenly Father when He says, well done. You know, He's not going to look at you and say, you know, why weren't you more like Billy Graham? I wish you'd been more like Billy Graham. That's not what he's going to say. He'll want to know why you weren't more of how He made you to be. Or He'll congratulate you on the fact that you were. You know, what I want to hear God say more than anything else is, well done, Raymond. You sure didn't have it all together, and you made a lot of mistakes, but you were fully you. You were who I made you to be. And that gives me a great deal of pleasure. Well done. That's what I want to hear. And I hope that in your mind, that's what you want to hear, or some form of that sentence. We want God to be pleased. We want to leave boldly, understanding that it's preparation for eternity. In the next 30 days, I hope that you'll join with us. Pray every day as you get up, Lord, help me to live today like it may be my last, or maybe the last of 30. And truly discover what that means. Pray that God will show you what that means and how you're going to live in that manner. I challenge you to be a part of some of the groups, small group studies, if you'd like to do that. I challenge you to pray for each of us as we worship together and look at these subjects. Now, they may seem a little uncomfortable, but I think it'll give us a great deal of freedom to go forward from this point. Would you pray with me? Gracious Father, we thank you for the blessings of today. Father, we thank you for all that you've given us. Father, you're a merciful God. You're a generous God. And we just pray now that as your children, we would embrace you fully, and that we would embrace who you have created us to be more completely. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. I want to ask you to take in your order of service, there's an insert entitled Covenant with New Believer. Kyler, this is a big day for you, buddy, and I want you to come down here. We've got a Bible and a certificate for you to remember your baptism day by. It's your baptism certificate here, and your Bible. As I've already said publicly, read it every day, buddy. Make it a part of who you are. And he and his family are going to be here at the conclusion of service. I hope that you'll come by and speak to them, give them a hug, let them know that you're praying for them. As we covenant together, I want you to take the insert that you have, and we're going to have a covenant with this new believer, with Kyler. And I hope that as we say these things, that you'll really focus, and that it'll be a time of renewal for you. Do you believe in God the Father? Do you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God?
Born of the Virgin Mary, he suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He descended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead.
Do you believe in God the Holy Spirit?
Resurrection of the body and the life everlasting.
Will you continue in the apostles' teaching and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in the prayers for each other and this new believer? Will you persevere in resisting evil, and whenever you fall into sin, repent and return to the Lord? Will you proclaim by word and example the good news of God in Christ and be faithful to pray for those who are lost? Will you seek and serve Christ by ministering to all persons, loving your neighbor as yourself? Will you strive for justice and peace among all people and respect the dignity of every human being? These things we covenant together before God. Amen. If you're here this morning and you would like to know what it means to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, this is your day. I invite you, as we stand and sing in just a moment, come, I'll be glad to share with you how you can receive Christ. If you're here and you say, Raymond, I'm a believer, but boy, I really hadn't thought about this living every day like it could be my last. And I'm going to get serious with God, and I'm going to do things that are more meaningful. I'm going to try to plug in, read his word, and live life like he wants me to live it. You can certainly make that decision where you are. You can come. The altar will be open here. You can certainly pray here. I'll be glad to speak with you as well. If you're here and you say, well, I really like this fellowship, good group of believers, I can tell you it is. It really is. And there's many ways we receive members, and I'll be glad to share that with you if you're interested. Whatever your decision is, I invite you to make that as we stand and sing together. Would you pray with me? Gracious Father, now as we go, help us to go with the boldness of the Spirit that walks with us. Father, help us to touch lives, to speak kind words, to love completely. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
This concludes this week's podcast of our worship service. Thank you for joining us. We would love to hear from our listeners. Please send our pastor an email at raymond@collegeparkbaptist.org. That's R-A-M-O-N @collegeparkbaptist.org. Or call us at 1-336-768-5870. May the peace of the Lord be with you in the coming week.